save big money on your next project. Now at Menards. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Wednesday night. That's right. You heard me correctly. Wednesday night, August 14th, 2024. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network. You can find us on thechairshot.com. I am back after a week off of feeling like crap. Turned the show over to my boys. I am the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. Going to go around the room here and introduce this cast of characters like I always do. Starting with, from the Rob the Genius podcast, he is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data, the official shoot bear of the Mindless Wrestling podcast, and the man with the golden shovel. He is out on location right now, but he's with us. Mr. Rob, sir, welcome.
Thank you. And I'm sitting outside my son's fencing class right now in the parking lot in the car.
Rob is a man on the streets right now.
Yes.
Superhero training, Rob. It's superhero training.
That's right. Superhero training. He's going to defend the world from Galactus and stuff. It's going to be great.
Yes.
And the Mindless Wrestling Podcast resident, High Flyer. He hails from the Purple Haze and Cloud Nine, Bucky's tag team partner, a man destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, how are you?
I'm still basking in the glow of the return of the one true tribal chief. His new music, I Am Greatness, which is a wonderful name for that song, is now on your various streaming platforms, apparently. Still not on Spotify yet, but I imagine that'll be by tomorrow. And I'm wonderful. So how are you guys?
Good.
I am much better this week than last week. Thank you guys, for starters, for holding down the show here. I got to talk to you guys about that in a minute. I had a horrible sinus infection last week and just got to be like Wednesday night into Thursday morning. And I'm like, I took Thursday off from work, just cause it was that bad. And I never call out sick from work. So that's how I know I felt like crap. I could barely talk. I had no energy, and I just messaged the guys. I'm like, look, I was like, you guys got to take it tonight or else we got to call it a wash this week. And the guys took over. And as usually happens when it's just the two of you, interesting stuff happens. And last week was no exception.
I feel like just got called into the principal's office.
Gentlemen, for starters, great discussion on the SummerSlam wrap-up. You guys had some really good insight, a lot of good stuff. I really liked the discussion that you guys had with the Wyatt Six. I was listening over the last 2 days on my car ride to work, and the Wyatt Six stuff, I agree with everything you guys said. And I'm like yelling at my phone, like, I would say this if I were there, and I would say that if I were there. And I'm like, I want to interject this, and I want to interject that, and I wasn't there, and it sucks. Because you guys were talking about some great stuff. But really, guys, with the Seymour Butts reference?
No.
Like, I was hollering at my phone. I'm like, these two, how did we get here? Because apparently Jason thinks that, you know, CM Punk's shoot name is Philip Seymour Hoffman or whatever he was trying to say last week. And, of course, Rob turned it into that.
So, I mean, you know.
And as soon as you said it, man, thankfully when you said it, I was sitting at a red light because I just hollered. It was hilarious.
You're in the little podcast zone. You find that little pocket, that slipstream, and just you make some podcast magic, and that's what Rob did.
Yeah,
it was awesome, guys. No, I did. Enjoyable episode. You guys always knock it out of the park when I'm not here. Not that I want to take a whole lot of time off, because I love doing this with you guys. And even, you know, as of like Thursday evening, Tina was looking at me. I was just down, like not feeling well. And I hate missing these things, because this is my cathartic time, sitting here with my boys. You know, some people, they get off work, they go to the bar, they have a couple of drinks, they shoot the shit with whoever's there. Me, I do this once a week with my boys. I'm not a stop off at the bar kind of guy. So, you know, this isn't just a podcast for me. This is me proverbially sitting at the bar, having a couple of drinks, talking wrestling with my buddies. And, you know, last week I wasn't able to do that. And Tina was looking at me even late, like 11th hour, because I set everything up. I did all the recording. And she's like, why don't you just sit in with them? I'm like, I can't just sit there and not talk. And she's like, just sit there, just run the show, record everything, let them talk. I'm like, I can't do that. I'm like, I'm going to want to talk. I'm going to suck. So I'm like, and if God, I'm going to suck, I'm just not going to do it. I don't want to step all over you guys and ruin your moment if I'm going to stink.
I couldn't imagine doing that, by the way. If I, like, just sitting there listening to two of my best buds just talk about something I like, which, you know, thankfully other people want to hear us talk about it, but we'd probably do this every week regardless.
Yeah.
But I couldn't, that's what I'm saying. The amount of control, I'm with you, the amount of control that would take to not jump in at a random time, like, you know, with your sick voice being like, actually guys, what really happened there?
Yeah. And you guys heard me, because I came in, I got on camera for a minute in the pre-show and I set everything up, and you guys, Jason even looked at me. He's like, you look horrible.
Like, get out of here, dude.
Yeah. Go to bed. They were telling, you know, my girlfriend's telling me to go do the podcast. My boys are my co-hosts are telling me to go to bed. So I see who has my best health interest at heart here. And it ain't the one who's paying half the bills.
We're all just trying to get rid of you, dude.
That sounds like it. You know, I keep joking about you going through the barbershop window. I need to pay attention, because I've got a nice, cozy looking window, you know, right behind me over there, and one never knows. I may fly through it one day.
The coup de mindless.
So, yeah, man. But like I said, thanks, guys, for locking it down last week. You did a great job. Great SummerSlam wrap-up. And as I said, I wish I could have been part of it, but I'm back this week.
So DJ.
Yes, sir.
You know what? Because you should give us your thoughts on the final, let's say, 10 minutes of SummerSlam.
That kind of
leads it. Well, no, I mean, like, what did you think? Because we didn't get a reaction from you of, he's back, this is happening. Like, you know, did you want to talk about that a little bit?
I can. As we segue into some Roman Reigns talk, yeah, absolutely. We kind of expected it. I think we all three kind of predicted it. I think we also, in our prediction show, we did at least crack the door open that it might be somebody other than Roman, just because WWE does stuff like that. And, you know, but I think we all knew, and I think it may have been Rob that said several weeks ago, there were people that were specifically buying tickets expecting Roman Reigns to be there. And if they didn't deliver that in some fashion, it was going to be chaos. And 7,000 people showed up to SummerSlam, and I would say 56.5 of them were expecting/hoping to see Roman Reigns, and they got that. I think it was well done. You know, it was incredible to see him back. I know there was some, you know, I'm going to call out Meltzer here. You know, Roman looked thinner. I don't want to, you know, basically doesn't want to speculate, but without speculating is speculating. In his word salad way, that Roman looked thinner. I thought Roman looked incredible. I looked at him, and I did not think he looked thinner. What I thought was he looked leaner, and there's a difference.
Yeah.
He looked more lean.
Right. But he's not quite the truck he was at one point. Because he hasn't been that quite the truck since, like, the middle of the Tribal Chief reign. He's been slimming out, leaning out, and whatnot for a while. And, wow, he had some time off so he could go overdrive on it.
Right. So he looked leaner. He looked crisp. He looked sharp. He looked good. You know, watching him hit the Superman punch, watching him hit the ooh-ah, the spear, everything, the whole atmosphere of it. But this is why I'm a wrestling fan. This is why I'm, and even more specifically, a WWE fan. You know, other promotions will try this and they'll to a degree succeed. This is where WWE knocks it out of the park all the time, is with the big moments. And while it wasn't 100% unexpected, it was an incredibly big moment for a couple of reasons. One, it's the return of the Tribal Chief, duh. Two, as you guys talked about a little bit on last week's episode, Joe Anoa'i deserved that. He went through so much from 2015 to 2019, right before the pandemic, right before he, you know, one, went out with, you know, the leukemia treatment, you know, when he made the announcement, and then coming back. And then, of course, the online rhetoric of, you know, they faked his leukemia to try and get a reaction for him, which just nauseates me to this day that those words actually came out of people's mouths and through their keyboards onto the internet. Like, it nauseates me that got out there like that. So for this guy to
go back even a little further, you know, the 2015 to 2017 era wasn't exactly kind to Roman Reigns.
It was not kind, but that's part of the rhetoric surrounding the leukemia diagnosis ties directly into that, because there's a category of people who seemed to think that Roman just was never the guy, was never going to be the guy. He was being forced down our throats. We want Daniel Bryan. We want this one. We want that. We want anybody but Roman Reigns. Meanwhile, T-shirts are still flying off the fucking shelves. Tickets are still being sold. People are still showing up for the shows. And they're showing up for the shows that Roman Reigns is on. So the people that really, really didn't like Roman was really a bubble inside of a bubble. But I'm not even going to go there. But like I said, that all played into when the guy actually, he had, you know, his cancer came back and he had to leave. He had to go to treatment. And then, you know, everything that surrounded that, for him to come back and, you know, let everybody know he's in remission. Now we're on this incredible run. And finally, people are starting to come around to, okay, maybe this guy does have it. And I think even Meltzer was quoted as saying, okay, maybe I got it wrong. Maybe he is a draw. And then, you know, then the pandemic hit. And obviously, being immunocompromised, this guy is not about to set foot into the real world and, you know, risk his life and health during that time period. And then, you know, he finally comes back. We get the Tribal Chief. We go on this damn near 4-year run. And those of us that rode hard.
Say it with your chest.
1,316 days.
Thank you.
And for the idiots that said nobody's ever going to remember that, we have been saying the numbers 316 for 25 fucking years.
Dude, as soon as they said it, it's like, I'm glad I didn't hear it on commentary, because, like, as soon as I heard the number, like, when I got home, watched the main event again, heard the number the way Cole said it, 1,316 days, I was like, 316, are you kidding me? I would immediately know he was going to lose right then and there, because I'm like, that is the easiest number to remember, and you can just crow about it forever.
Absolutely. And, yes, we will be saying 1,316 for 35 years. It's going to happen. Get used to it. Deal with it.
Yeah.
Swallow the whole thing, because it's been force-fed to you, okay? So, yeah, Joe Anoa'i deserved that moment for everything he went through, for all the crap that he – all the muck that he trudged through, everything that he did, putting on incredible after incredible performance to finally the crowd give him that. Was really, really cool to see. I'm looking forward to this next chapter in the Tribal Chief saga. And we're going to kind of pick that apart here in just a couple of minutes. We're going to get into a little bit more of that. But I have not seen SmackDown yet. I do want you guys to talk about what happened on SmackDown this past week. Roman Reigns' first SmackDown since losing the Universal Championship at WrestleMania.
Yeah, so Solo... called him out, and at the very, very end of the show, you know, Roman Reigns, if you're back there, I'm the tribal chief, I'm the, you know, the head of the table, blah, blah, blah. And Roman's music hit, and he clotheslined, you know, Tagaloa, and then he started beating the Tama Tonga and Tagaloa with the ring steps, and he did something like a Superman punch or something to Solo. Solo drops or loses the, you know, Ulafala, the necklace, you know, denoting the fact that he's the tribal chief. Roman gets into the ring, picks it up, looks at it, looks like he's about to hit it, put it on, or, you know, obviously, and then Tonga Loa comes over, knocks him over, you know, they chase him out of the ring, and then he beats the crap out of them, too. And it was just one of the wildest things I've seen in a while. No promo, no nothing. We're just right to whipping ass, which I thought it was a lot of fun. What'd you think, Rob?
Yeah. You know, cause he's either going to come out at the beginning or at the end or both. They saved it to the end. And yeah, it was surreal. I mean, I was speechless, man. It was it, you know.
Because I forgot to mention, the crowd's going absolutely banana land for this guy.
Yeah.
And it's far secondary to what DJ was talking about. You know, me and Rob talked about it a little last week. This is a Roman Reigns fan. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and they're already chanting OTC. I mean, and so... man, you know, I said last week, it's different, right, when he's there. And I can tell you, I mean, for the past month or so, SmackDown has been kind of pedestrian. I mean, not that it was bad, you know, product or anything, but it was just kind of, once Jacob got there, and then it turned, it, you know, the first, well, obviously when he first came out there, that was a big thing. But, you know, like between Money in the Bank and SummerSlam, it had turned into Nitro, basically, you know. You know, where the show ends, where, you know, where Hogan and Hall and Nash are standing over the WCW guys and they got the spray paint cans.
Yeah.
Right? Except it's. It's fake Diesel and fake Razor Ramon dressed as the NWO.
Yeah, and so, and you know, y'all know me, I'm the number man and all, and I can point you to all various kind of numbers and to kind of show that it is kind of cooled off, and they absolutely needed him to come back. And it is just, again, it's an entirely different thing when he's there. And just the quarter that he was in at the end, the quarter before it had 2,097,000 people watching, according to Nielsen. His quarter had 2.361 million people. So an extra 260,000 people tuned in.
That's incredible.
Well, and like it's not even that you don't have a choice. Like, okay, I can look online. I can look wherever. I just know that he hasn't been on yet. So it's 9:45. Let's go.
Yeah. And so that was a 13% increase in the TV audience during that quarter. And normally the main event quarter, well, over the past 3 months, the main event quarter gets about a 4% increase because it's the main event. So that quarter, with him coming out, they got a 13% increase. That's triple the normal amount of people that tune in that last quarter.
So
that,
let's talk moving forward here a little bit as far as where we think this is going to go. I know a lot of people are already saying, because if you watched in SummerSlam, Cody standing in the corner with the Universal Championship, points at Roman. Roman looks at him and says, basically, that's still mine. you know, and basically tell him it's only a matter of time. And immediately people picked up on that and started booking Roman and Cody 3 for WrestleMania 41 in Vegas. I don't think that's the play. I think that the story for the foreseeable future is going to be based around the Ulafala. Right now, Roman's story needs to be redemption. Roman hurt a lot of people. There's a lot of emotional trauma with him and both the Usos. There's a lot of distrust with him and Sami Zayn. There's whatever baggage he and Cody Rhodes are still carrying. There's a lot of things that Roman needs to do before we get to that match. And I think depending on how long we have Roman for, there's time to do that. I don't think we need to rush and do Roman Cody 3 at 41. I think you can kick that back another year. I think in the foreseeable future, Roman's quest, his goal, his championship should be to reclaim the tribal chiefdom. I think we should go moving forward.
Well, look, the big determining factor here, of course, is the availability of one Dwayne Johnson.
Well, that's also always the factor.
But I think they made that abundantly clear on SmackDown because Roman literally had the Ulafala in his hands.
Yeah.
And before Tama knocked it out and, you know, Solo scooted his ass in the ring and grabbed it. So that it's very clear. That's going to be the narrative device, obviously.
Okay, good. That's the plot device. I haven't seen SmackDown yet. I'm a little bit behind on all my weekly wrestling stuff just because between being sick, being crazy at work, and a bunch of other life stuff, I'm about 2 weeks behind on my televised wrestling stuff.
Okay, so what I think, I mean, honestly, it comes down to whether or not Dwayne is available for 41. If he is, then you should should be the final, you know, battle for the Ulafala. You know, it should be him and, you know, should be Dwayne and Roman fighting over.
I think you do that in Vegas. I think it's Dwayne and Roman night two in Vegas.
Now, if he can't. Of course, if he can't do it, if he can't make it, then they probably will do Roman and Cody 3. Because, I mean, what else would you do?
If you can't do the one everybody wants, then we do Roman and Cody 3 in Vegas. But I think The Rock, at this point in his life, at this point in his career, has compartmentalized movies and TV with wrestling because now he's on the TKO board. He has to commit at least a certain period of time to this. I think he's better able to compartmentalize it now and free himself up for the WrestleMania season.
Also, you have to think they're planning ahead here.
Oh, yeah. There's always a backup plan.
But he's known for a year that he needs to be available by X date to clear the way for whatever he's doing in WrestleMania, because I refuse to believe he's not doing anything.
Yeah. One thing I do like is they've done their best to limit Jacob and Roman. Like, it is Jacob, right?
Yeah, Jacob,
because that dude's, they're building him up to be a monster. And you can't blow that load right now.
No,
so,
man, honestly,
go ahead, Rob.
Oh, because if there's one guy in the fake bloodline that should actually, or could book to beat Roman in a match, it's him.
Believe it, yeah.
Look, Solo's not beating him unless there's like 8 run-ins or something. And you know, in the Tonga, neither one of them is going to beat him in a match.
I'm kind of surprised, by the way. Since their run here, they're kind of bebop and rocksteady.
Well, now because you got Jacob there. When they first came in, then they had to be, you know, they had to be the guys that beat up everybody. You had to establish them. But now that Jacob is there, they can be frickin' frack, you know.
I mean, we don't have to take them as serious because we got the werewolf out sitting out here on that ringside.
And look, Tongaloa is like a comedy reel.
Yeah.
I see a new meme on that dude almost weekly, that poor kid.
That guy, well, I'm going to go ahead and say it, okay? He stinks.
Come on.
Is she really that bad, or is some of this intentional at this point?
Okay, and I'll give him a pass for when he banged his head on the table, and, you know, because people give him crap for that. Look, he was, you know, seeing stars, but
yeah, I mean. He missed the nut shot at the pay-per-view. Yeah, dude, he was on Jupiter with CTE land.
But some of his other stuff, like you see some of the clips of him in New Japan, and it's just bad.
Yeah.
I mean, look, hey, God bless you. Hey, he's getting a paycheck. I'm not mad. You know what? There are, you know.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know, and he's doing, everything they're asking him to do, you know. At this point, it does go in his favor because they are kind of supposed to be bozos, which is unfortunate for, you know, the Gorillas of Destiny. You know, not the average fan isn't quite seeing the same experience.
This may be one of those situations where certain fans have rose-colored glasses when it comes to their favorites. Obviously everybody that goes to Japan is the greatest wrestler that ever wrestled the wrestling. You know, that's just the rules. When you go to Japan, suddenly you're 10 times better than you actually are. And, you know, people put those rose colored glasses on and they're probably looking at this like, man, a lot of people are probably pissed off that he's getting the Briscoe and Patterson treatment. But we need a Briscoe and Patterson for this iteration of the bloodline. Because if you stack it up, it's essentially kind of like McMahon's little stable. You know, it fell right out of my head, the corporation. Its own way. It's laid out very similar to the corporation. It's this bullshit heel faction that the baby faces are going to come and run out of town. And you need a Briscoe and Patterson in those roles. And unfortunately, it's the Tongans.
Well, the thing is, like, I'm looking at it with my video game logic and Mortal Kombat logic, where I'm like, oh, hey, they're founding members of Bullet Club, like, they've wrestling, basically they've won a tag team championship everywhere they've went, but then, they're so good at the bozo stuff, like, and I say that genuinely, like, they're doing it perfectly, and they're making it, you know, good television, you know, that, hey, man, keep cashing your checks.
And look, I say he stinks in a funny way. He's not injuring people or anything, okay? So
Right.
I mean, if he was injuring people, it'd be different. But we're laughing at it, okay? It's just it's comically bad. It's not dangerous, okay?
He's bouncing people off the ropes instead of into the turnbuckle. Like
it is not the most offensive thing I've seen on my wrestling programs.
No.
And again, all stuff aside, he gets all the little stuff. Like, he gets the wrestle. I believe them as characters, and both of them specifically.
So, Rob, was it last week or next week that SmackDown is in Baltimore?
It's next week. They're in Washington, D.C.
Okay, they're in D.C.
So I'm waiting to see if they announce Roman. I have not seen him announced for it yet. If he's going to be there, then, that's usually the day I go into the office anyway. So if he is going to be there, then I think I will make a trip on over to the,
As you're okay with sitting in nosebleeds, cause I'm going to tell you, SmackDown is in Orlando. Orlando is an hour away. I can be there. I can be to the it's the Kia Center now. The Kia Center, I can be there in less than 50 minutes. I think it's like 48, 49 minutes, something like that. Last time we went, I can be there in less than an hour. They announced Roman Reigns last week, and I started looking at tickets, and the only thing they had was in the upper level section. And I'm like, I don't want to drop this kind of money on shit tickets. You know, I should. Right. And it's one of those things where you got to take a chance. And they went on. I got the pre-sale notice months ago, and I should have fucking bought them, and I'm kicking myself for not buying them because the seats that I normally get, which are really friggin' good, at the time were like $65 a pop, you know, without knowing this. So I think moving forward, the next time they come to Orlando, I'm just going to, you know, hope and pray for the best and buy it, because now fucking Roman Reigns is going to be 50 minutes away from me. And I'm going to be sitting on my ass not going to see him because I, you know, freaking flaked out on shit tickets.
Okay, well, he's not no, so they do have the people listed now, and he's not among them. So he will not be there in Washington.
And he's still got time, though. Like I said, they just announced him a week out. This was last Friday they announced him, and they're coming to Orlando this Friday.
Yeah.
So you may still have time.
Yeah, so I got a week. But I'm that's what that is, the 23rd, because I know I already have a couple of things on the schedule here, because I'm on the...
All right, boys, riveting radio. Come on.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Never mind.
Yeah, we were doing all that. But either way, okay. It's...
I got 15 minutes, guys, before I got to go.
All right, well then, why don't we take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll talk about a couple of other little things that are spinning out of SummerSlam, and then we'll get out of here. Before we go to break, I want to invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can look at, browse, peruse, if you will, all the t-shirts that are available from your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcast, including this one, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Pick one up. If you pick one up, the starving artists on this show will thank you. If you pick one up in soft style for just a couple dollars more, your body will thank you. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
And we are back. Before the break, we were talking a little bit of Roman Reigns. Now that we're back, Bash of Berlin is the next premium live event from WWE. The card is already starting to take shape. Gentlemen, I think we should maybe kick around what we know so far. I know on Raw this week, they teased Drew and Punk, a potential strap match. I'm excited for that one. You guys got any thoughts here?
That seems the way the wind is blowing, because, you know, Drew introduced the strap by taking his belt off, and then Punk took it from him and beat the ever-loving tar out of Drew. So, and they are two guys who... You know, backstage, if you looked at them and said, hey, do you want to do a strap match? They'd look at each other and go, hell yeah, let's do a strap match. So, it all signs point to, you know, I saw it being passed around as a report, by the way, by the Observer.
Yeah, I saw that.
Somebody. I'm like, wow, man. I also have eyes and watch the television show. And because, right. You know, if it doesn't happen, all plans change. They were just going to do this match instead.
Breaking news here on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Sources deep inside WWE are telling me that SmackDown will come from Orlando this week and start sharp at 8 o'clock.
Wow.
My sources told me that. My sources also told me, so just now, coming in just now my sources are telling me Triple H may be part of creative that week.
Oh.
Triple H may actually have creative control next week. That's what I'm being told.
They're not getting Vince?
No, they're not getting Vince this week. Not this week. It's all Triple H. It's all, and some of the production staff is going to be there as well. So that's official breaking news here on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast.
Oy. So, I mean, on the card right now, official, we have Gunther defending his championship against Randy Orton. Cody Rhodes defending his championship against his pal Kevin Owens, gag me with a spoon, and the Terror Twins versus the Judgment Day, who, of course, we have, you know, couples at war and, or, you know, pals at war with evil people. Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley versus Dominic, Dirty Dom Mysterio and Liv Morgan. So
I want to go back for a minute to the strap match possibility, because this is not the first time we've seen Drew McIntyre in a strap match. The last time I saw Drew McIntyre in a strap match, it was not great. I'm hoping that it was because of the other half of that equation. Because I love a good strap match. And if these two are going to go in there and whip the tar out of each other, they need to follow Steve Austin and Savio Vega as the template.
Yeah, and then,
while that was not the first strap match, that one was a banger.
That one, and then go watch that, and then go watch Wahoo McDaniel and Jimmy Garvin.
Yes.
Because they whip the hell out of each other, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, go watch a couple of those. Go watch some of that, okay?
Yeah, I think the situation with Drew and Punk has gone about like we predicted it would. The violence is going to escalate from match to match until we get to the final blow-off match, which could be either a Hell in a Cell, could be a cage match, could be some other type of stipulation match. I'm looking forward to it. I enjoyed their match at SummerSlam. I know a lot of people are barking on the internet about the story and the bracelet. Shut up. They've been telling the story of the bracelet for a month and a half. So I'm looking forward to it. I think these guys bring out the best in each other. I think it's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah, yes. In fact, right now, out of the matches that have been announced so far, that's the one. That's number one on my list right now.
Yeah.
And it hasn't even been announced yet.
Not officially, but it's obviously the tea leaves are reading it.
Yes. Yeah. So,
let's just say.
Yeah. So that's four matches. So if they stick to formula, we're going to get one or two more.
Hey.
So what are they going to be?
I'd be okay if they found a way to get the women's tag team championships on that card.
I think if there's going to be a women's championship match on that card, I think that's what it's going to be. I think that's where the action, they've turned up the action in the past couple of weeks. So I think that's probably either that or it'll be a six woman tag with the, Bianca, Jade and Naomi against Blair and, Isla and Alba. It'll be one of the, if it's not a women's tag team title match, I think it'll be a six-woman match.
Even if it's a six-woman match, that's six women I'd love to see on a major on a premium live event.
Yeah,
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, so I think that's what it'll be. It'll be one of those two things. Because other than that, the only other things floating out there right now, as far as an actual match, Santos became the number one contender for the U.S. title. So that's right now, as far as matches that are ready made to go, it's those are your candidates right there. Either the six-woman tag or a women's tag team title match or Santos and LA Knight. It'll be one of those three. Or, I think it'll be those are your candidates for the fifth match. And other than that, that was looking like so far. Now the question will be just, will they do a sixth match or not? There's no reason why they can't do both. There's no reason why they can't do the U.S. title match and the women's tag team match.
I think we could shave 5 minutes off of the other matches, not hurt a thing, and take those collective 5 minutes from each match and put one more match on the card.
Because Cody and Kevin don't need to go 30 minutes, damn it.
You know they're going to.
They don't need, damn it, they don't need
to. Yeah, I know they don't need to, but they're going to. I'll enjoy it.
But, yeah, they don't need to go back to, 2014 Ring of Honor or something.
No.
Oh, someone's taking some sort of funky driver through they're going to do something. It's going to be interesting, I bet. Because those are two guys who, from what we've seen, they're basically allowed to do whatever they want. So
yeah, Triple H gives Kevin Owens is a Triple H guy. He's going to give him as much rope as he needs, and Cody's Cody. So
yeah.
So, what are our excitement levels about Gunther and Randy? Because I like it.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing with that is, go ahead, Jason. I'm sorry.
I love it. I just wish they didn't give away the RKO already.
And that, and then, I mean, the only downer on that is we know who's winning.
This is one of those matches where I watch it bell to bell. Like, I already know what the outcome's going to be. I want to watch two incredibly gifted professional, the best of the modern era versus one of the best of a bygone era. That's what I want to see. And that's what I'm going to get. I got Randy Orton is one of the best of his class. Gunther is arguably the best of his class. I'm looking forward to what happens from bell to bell.
I wanted them to not give away the RKO so early because I wanted, you know, Randy to finally hit him with it after a 30-minute match, and then, you know, Gunther kicks out at two. I know kicking out of the RKO isn't exactly what it used to be, but it's
pop the crowd, Jason. Pop the crowd.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, because, you know, all I have to do is hit you with the RKO, you know, and he's avoided it, avoided it, avoided it. Then he finally hit him with it, and he still kicks out. This guy's a monster.
Yeah. So.
Well, there's one more thing I did want to sneak in here before I have to go. Looks like, do you guys think the New Day is coming to an end or not?
Go ahead, Jason.
You know what? If Kofi is close to, I'm just spitballing based on his age and family, man, and he's made a shit ton of money already, and he can make a ton of money in a ton of different fields. So, all that said, if Kofi is at all thinking about hanging it up, maybe this isn't the way you wanted to do it, but, you know, you don't have to have Odyssey Jones join the New Day. You don't have, you know, anything like that. But you can, you know, tear apart what you created. Sure. Whatever, man. It's like, because they're involved, I feel like, and, you know, what we've seen of the Triple H era, they seem to be okay with it, and they're, you know, they're going with it. So, hey, and I think the side eye that they're, that Woods keeps giving Kofi is absolutely fantastic.
Well, okay, so I don't want, you know, I don't want Odyssey Jones to be Big O. All right, and then
no.
You know, no, we don't know.
If that's what it is, then I know maybe they might be forced into it because that's just goofy. I also think that's why Kofi deliberately announced that, you know, he's like, the New Day and Odyssey Jones.
Here's where I am with it. The New Day hold a very special place with me because even at a time when you could argue WWE creatively was not great, the New Day were. You know, the New Day, the Usos, that feud for me, that little year, 2 year time period where they were going back and forth was probably some of the stuff that really kept me around the most. So those guys hold a special place for me. I don't look at the New Day like the NWO or the Four Horsemen or even, you know, DX or something where you can kind of plug and play different guys. The New Day was Big E, Kofi Kingston, and Xavier Woods. And it's always going to be those three. And if it can't be the three of them collectively, then we need to move on from it. And if Big E's not coming back, and, you know, I'm not even going to go down that road because Jason's had his piece on that. If Big E is truly done and we're not going to get him anymore, we need to move on from that. It was wonderful. It holds a very special place in my wrestling fandom history and heart. But if we can't have the three of them like that again, don't do a retread. And nothing against Odyssey Jones. Nothing against anybody that they could potentially bring in there that they're trying to elevate to the next level. To me, that would feel like a retread, and I don't want it. I would rather see them give Xavier Woods something new to do. And if Kofi is on the retirement tour, you know, let him go out his own way. Personally, that's what I would want from this. If it's looking like it's going to be over and we're not getting Big E, let's call it a day on it.
Well, because Kofi's 43 years old. Well, he'll be 43 on. Look, today's August 14th. So he's 43 years old. For me, they haven't been winning a whole lot. I mean, I think you could, if they wanted to, they could book Kofi and Woods as a team still contending for the tag team championship, but they haven't been doing that. So if they're not going to do that, then it's time to move on. Because look, nobody wants to see them be a damn jobber team, okay?
Right. Yeah, I don't want that at all. Like I said, we're done, then let's go ahead and close the door on it.
If they're not going to look.
This thing with the Final Testament has been killing me a slow death. Because I see, you know, as we talk about, I've seen the potential with the Final Testament. And nothing can get off the ground with those dudes. And to see Xavier and, you know, Kofi schlubbing it. Friend of the podcast, by the way, Kofi Kingston. Schlubbing it with these guys. Yeah. No. Let them be. Let them be unique, beautiful butterflies. Let them be free. You know, let Kofi find his Jamaican accent again. Let, you know, Woods do whatever he wants to do. Be Austin Creed if he wants to. Let's go.
I'm very intrigued at the possibility of a heel, like a true heel, not like early New Day heel, but like a true heel, Xavier Woods. I'm very intrigued by this.
That dude is such a nerd. He would ham it up, but in the best ways.
Oh, he's a chameleon. He really is in all the best ways.
But like he would just—he's an like a video game nerd, an anime nerd, like who typically in the games he plays, over the top, you know, just Dark Lord villains and those kind of guys, and just knowing his sense of humor and knowing how he does things. Oh man, I want to see him just do a super villain. Like that would be so much fun, man.
All right. Well, guys, I know that was an abrupt ending, but Rob's got to go. We're going to call this show a little bit early tonight. I want to thank everybody for listening, and thank you guys for welcoming me back. Hopefully, you know, no more sicknesses anytime in the near future. Going to go around the room here and thank my co-host. I'm going to start with Rob. Rob from the Rob the Genius Podcast, sir. Good night tonight. Good talk.
Yeah, thank you. And for all the audience, if you're mad about the show being short, you can blame me. Okay.
Nobody's fault, man. It just happened the way it happened. We'll be back with more content next week. Jason, sir, good talk. Brief, but good.
You know what? This was a lot of fun. It always is, but this was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm glad to be back to work with you guys. Anyway, man. Sir?
It's been good to have you back, Captain.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, guys.
We were dogs without cats, man, or whatever you want to call it. We were lost without you, brother.
Dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria. You've been listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the Chairshot Radio Network, again, to be found on thechairshot.com. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling, you can call it sports entertainment, you can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we are out of here till next week.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.